Well, this afternoon, everyone, I want to cover a topic that certainly impacts all of us on a day-to-day basis. When we look back in the book of Genesis, we see that God is the originator of creation. And we see that he also was the originator of the recreation that took place after the rebellion of the fallen angels and Satan, who became Lucifer, or Lucifer, who became Satan. And what transpired after that was the reconstruction of the earth, making it habitable for the arrival of mankind. And we see what is mentioned in the book of Genesis, first chapter, day one, day two, day three, day four, five, six, and then the Sabbath day, which God sanctified and made holy. What we just expressed there was the beginning of time, time. God is the author of time. Time plays a very important part in each and every one of our lives. We are governed by time. We are told in Scripture that there are 12 hours in a day, 12 hours at night, 24 hours in which every one of us have on a day-to-day basis a gift from God that is given from Him, the life giver, to us. And what He gives to us, God now watches to see what are we going to give to him in return for that 24-hour period of time. Well, I think most of us realize a good portion of it, we need sleep. If we don't get good sleep, we're not functioning right. And we find out they're telling us, scientists now, that Americans especially are having a problem with sleep deprivation. We're not getting enough sleep. So our minds are not sharp, but they're not clear, because you've got to have a lot of rest, or otherwise your body cannot function the way God originally designed it to work. But in this particular case, when we talk about time, have you ever noticed that time moves by so quickly? One day at a time, but it just moves by so quickly, and it seems more so now as we are living in this very end time, high-tech definition of life that we call everyday existence in life today. Because when you think about it from the old days, and I say old days meaning just 30, 40 years back, people would sit on the porch and they would write, you know, it would seem like time was going slow. And then it would start speeding up as the years go by. And a lot of times people would say, well, when you get older, the time goes faster. Well, in one sense, yes, but now even young people are noticing it's happening to them too. A lot of things are going on, but the full understanding of all of this, I don't think most people really grasp or comprehend. Do you have memories from time to time, and you reflect back when things you did seem like just yesterday? And the answer is yes, we all do. And it's really sad when you see people today coming down with all these Alzheimer's type of arrangements, and this Alzheimer's arrangement is creating problems when their memory is gone and they don't know who you are or what it was that they used to do. And it's really sad. But have you ever wondered where time went? I mean, we have time right now. But the past is the past. You got the hope of the future. All we have really is right now. And it's very important to use this time from a biblical standpoint in the most propitious way you can do, according to give God glory. Time waits for no man, no woman, they say. Or they'll say time flies. And it certainly does seem like that. Here we have, it's already now just on the doorstep of August, and it seems like the Feast of Tabernacles will be here before we turn around. So the year is just really rocketed by. Now, what we have to ask ourselves is, each day possesses 24 hours. We recognize that. And it demands priority of your everyday existence. If you don't prioritize what you're going to do with your life that day, then that day can get away from you. And all of us have had that experience. God tells us from His Word what, number one, should be our priority in living this life as a Christian, man and woman. And that is Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's important that we seek after his righteousness, and that is defined Psalm 119, 172, that all thy commandments are defining what righteousness is, or right living. We have to embrace those commandments to use them in living everyday life. Now, as human beings, most people just live life any old way. You and I were like that at one time. But now we are different, in so much that with the calling of God, we've been called to live a different way of life from what the vast majority of people presently are living today. Most of them are most concerned about one thing: eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and that's it. All they are interested in survival. You and I are interested in something that goes far greater than that. It could be called your legacy in life. Because when all is said and done, what it can be said about you that makes you different from everyone else? Probably this would be the best way I could express it. It would be wonderful if people could know you and say, he or she was a servant of the living God. That's the greatest honor that could be bestowed upon any one of us, that you were a servant of the living God, the God who gives life to all human life, and the God who has called us to eternal life through Christ Jesus. Serving God and Jesus Christ is why we live. This is why God created us. He created all his angelic hosts for the purpose of serving him in his divine kingdom. And he has something even greater in store for all of us as human beings. And he wants us to understand that and let that become a motivation of heart so that we don't become discouraged by this world that is trying to drown us in all the problems and the difficulties that sinful mankind are engaged in. We see it in every way, shape, and form in society today. You and I are called to serve God, and how do we serve him? Well, let's look at some ways real quick how we are supposed to serve him every day that he grants to us. Number one, we're to serve him in our homes. We all are blessed with homes, or will have a home. But wherever it is that you call home, you are to reflect, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, you're to reflect that you are a servant of the living God. And that is very important. And that means your homes have to reflect a Christ-like residue. It has to be, if Jesus were to walk through the door, he should see his stamp and his approval upon the way you're living life to him in your homes. Can you imagine how children need to be taught? It says we are to bring up children in the fear and the nurture of Almighty God. We can't convert them, but we are to make them God conscious. And if they don't see it in mom and dad, they're not going to see it anywhere else. So you have to be an example to them. And what do? You set an example and you serve God, because God is not the author of confusion. You keep your house in order. And so you teach your children growing up, clean up your room. Because why? It looks like chaos has struck your room. Everything is all over the place. They have to learn to put their toys away. I mean, it starts at an early age. And then right on up through life, as we can't live life each and every day in a disoriented fashion. That's all we're talking about. God wants us to be prioritized, to always be God conscious, and to remember again that our homes are a reflection of God's presence. When others come to visit you, what do they see? Do they see that you strive to live a certain way, a certain caliber of life that inspires others to say, wow, they really have a nice way of living, functioning? Another way of looking at this, how to live each and every day, is we are to serve God through our work. Through our work, because we have to work 6 days. The seventh day, like the Sabbath, is a day of rest. What do we do on those 6 days? Well, for children, what is their work? Well, their work is to learn from mom and dad the basic things of what they're going to have to do as they grow up, called maturation. They mature. By the time they're teenagers, they've learned a lot more. Then by 16, they know how to drive a car and all these other things that go with it. And parents have to guide them more through that. And as they get older, the parents have to release their control factor, and those individuals then launch out into life, into the workplace. So whether they're in school, whether they're in college, whether they're on the job, what is the reflection of those individuals? Well, of course, if we're serving God, it should be quite evident that our work ethic should be demonstrated and God is glorified by the way we conduct ourselves, because as the Apostle Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. There's no freebies out there. Everybody's got to put their shoulder to the plow and work together. But there's a lot of deadbeats out there today that want a lot of easy entitlements and are not willing to work. Well, God is not creating sons and daughters who are deadbeats. And there will be no entitlements given that, and because it says, by grace are we saved. We're not entitled to anything except death. The wages of sin is death. That's what we've all earned as human beings. But God has promised through a process of conversion, through repentance, having the blood of Christ applied to us, we now come into a family relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The life is in the blood thereof. And because we accept the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the confidence to know our sins will be forgiven and the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Because we will no longer strive to practice sin, but we will stumble, yes, from time to time because of the weakness of the flesh, but we will run right back to God and ask for forgiveness. And God will raise us back up again because he desires to see us fulfill his purpose for which he created us. So we have to carry on and we serve in our homes. We serve on the workplace, wherever that might be. And we can also serve in his work. We call it the work of God. And what is that? Preaching the gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. That's why we were called to join forces with other brothers and sisters in Christ who are understanding this great purpose that God is working that has to be given as a witness to the world, not to convert them, just a witness. And if we don't do that, then you see we haven't contributed our part to do the work of God. And so that's where we tithe. That's where we use the resources that God has given us, and we work together as brothers and sisters in Christ with a common goal, and that is to serve our great God in the work that he has given the Church of God at this time. Now, when God created time, God's purpose for time as it relates to mankind could be summarized in this. God has given us this wonderful opportunity in order to relate to his constant service. In other words, God is creating all mankind to become eternal sons and daughters, but servants in his kingdom. This is why Jesus constantly referred to the fact it's not going to be like that in the kingdom of God, where you have this high honcho up here and everybody else is kind of put down on a lower level. Instead, God has said what? You've got to humble yourself in order to be the kind of servant that God wants. That means you are willing to suppress your own selfish desires and that you are willing to accept the wonderful promises of God that in due time he will raise you up to glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. Those are wonderful promises given. So God gives us this marvelous opportunity and he gives us time as it relates to developing the traits that are needed so that we will be the kind of servants that he wants in his kingdom. That's what Jesus meant when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I've got you targeted where I want you. You're not going to be a square peg in a round hole. God knows exactly what talents and abilities you've got. He knows where he wants to put us, because he knows we'd be terribly unhappy if he stuck us somewhere where we didn't fit. Well, God says we are all like stones, bricks, and we're being built in a spiritual temple. And God puts one here and there. And we're a spiritual temple, and Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. It's a beautiful picture that the scripture gives to us to inspire us. But you know, there are activities that go on in this world in which you and I live that are constantly competing for our time. Now, we've already established our time should be focused on God each and every day. We're doing other things, but everything relates in one way or another to serving God. In our homes, when we get up in the morning, when we go to school, when we go to college, when we go to work. And we recognize that all of this, coupled with the wonderful privilege to be able to preach the gospel, the good news. We don't call it the bad news. We call it the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And to be a part of that, of all the human beings on the face of the earth, and that God has given you and I the opportunity to be a part of that, we're told to rejoice in what God has purposed to bring about this marvelous salvation, not only for us, but ultimately for all mankind. But because we live in this world, we are warned in the scripture, come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Now, what do you mean by that? We got to live in this world, and we're surrounded by all kinds of things that compete for this wonderful calling of God that we've been given. And these activities do what? They compete with our time frame, because activities require choices to be made. You see, we made a choice to be here today to worship God on the Sabbath day. That's important to God. And God watches each and every one of us to see what kind of choices we make on a day-to-day basis. Do we stop serving God through the week and only serve him on the weekend when it's the Sabbath or the holy days? No, we're supposed to serve him all the time. But it's magnified in our service to come before him and worship him in spirit and truth. And then to understand this broad plan of God is exhilarating. To actually know why you were born, why you were put on this earth, why are you a man and why are you a woman? And you don't have all kinds of mental problems that says you are transgender confused. Because there are people today who are transgender confused. They don't know what a man is. They don't know what a woman is. And now they're all talking about this crazy stuff. And yet it's very clear, God says in the beginning, he made us male and female. Transgender is not in the Bible. And so that's very clear. So we don't have any problems in our minds on it. See, God just helps us to think straight, to understand how we should be thinking about things. But these activities that come, they challenge us on a day-to-day basis. How do you use your time? Because making better use of time is what you and I have been called to do. And every day that we are blessed to have a day in the gift of life in the land of the living, things are going to come at us that we have to stop and consider and make a choice. We are told to choose life or death, blessing or cursing in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, God's purpose for time. Let's take a look at this and analyze this a little bit. God's purpose for time, because he created it. He lives beyond time. God is eternal. He's always been there. Time does not hold God at bay. But you and I live by time. Every day we've been given 24 hours in which to operate. The result that we take a look at is that we need to avail ourselves to all the opportunities that time will permit. That's why you have to have an agenda. And you, what am I going to do first? What am I going to do second, third, fourth? You may not get it all done in a given day. You may have to defer some to the next day. But you have to set an agenda. The reason why is because the opportunities that we're exposed to relate to our service to God and to Christ. And sometimes we don't think about it that way. We're busy doing, quote, our thing. Well, I need to do this and I need to do that. How does that relate to serving God? We should always bring God into our thinking. That's why Paul writes in the book of Corinthians and says, we are to bring every thought in subjection to Christ. How do we do that? We bring him into our thought process. We don't leave him out. If we're thinking about doing this and doing that, we ask God's blessing. God, please guide me and help me to do this that I'm setting out to do. And if it is not what you want me to do, block the door and don't let me go that way. How do I know that? Because it says in the Lord's Prayer, he says, lead us not into temptation. I don't want to be exposed to something where the enemy is out there and he could do what? Take me down. You don't want to be caught that way. So it says, lead us not into temptation where I'm tested and I fail because the devil's involved. If I've got to be tested, let it be with you. So because I know you're always going to test me to make me better than what I was before. You're never going to try to put me down. You're going to lift me up if I walk your way. And you got to be delivered from the evil one. So Jesus understood this, and he gave us this instruction to help us on our daily pursuit. If we go back to Psalm 127 and verse 1, we are admonished by the scriptures to remember the following. Except the Lord build the house. Now that's you. That's you. We're talking about your spiritual house being your body. Unless you let God work in your life and build your life for the purpose for which it was designed by God, he says, you labor in vain. You're wasting your time. You're doing what most people are doing in this world. You're just living for the now. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. That's all they see. God wants you to eat and drink and be merry and know that there is life after death that is in this world and a wonderful future for all those that submit themselves and are in compliance with God's will. Jesus was such an individual. And when we think about this wonderful Son of God and realize, what did he do? He was the instrument in God's hands to create everything, both visible and invisible. It all is designed in this miraculous manner. And there's nothing, and then all of a sudden he speaks it into existence, and boom, there everything is. It's breathtaking. The power that is incredibly needed to do that. But that is one of the great elements of God. God has unlimited power. Power to do anything he wants to do. And there's no power that can stop him. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and his will be accomplished. Nobody can sidestep the will of God and say, I'm going to overthrow it. Lucifer tried, and he learned the hard way. He contended with the Creator, and he lost. And so did all those angels that followed him. We are told, unless God builds your house, unless you're letting God through his Spirit work in your life to keep you on that straight and narrow path that leads to life, you labor in vain. Well, we're all guilty of, at times in the past, laboring in vain. But maybe from time to time, even now, we get a little bit sloppy and need to really hone up and brush up. Because it takes God's guiding hand, this is important, it takes God's guiding hand and his Holy Spirit to use time wisely. You don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Nobody knows how to use time wisely. We don't even know our left from our right hand. We don't know when to come in and go out. God has to guide us. That's why it's a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because most don't want to hear it from God. But God will show us if we ask him. He's more than willing to help us and give us what we need to make each day count to the glory of God. We have to remember Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12 and verse 1 tells us that we are to, as Paul put it, I beseech you, brethren. He's talking to us as brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, and I beseech you, brethren, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, or as some translations say, your spiritual service, is to God. This is exactly what it's all about. The wisdom of God translates into every opportunity that you're exposed to. Now, life is filled with opportunities, but you have to choose which ones are going to make you or which ones are going to hurt you. If you choose the wrong ones, you will suffer the consequences. And life is filled with that. We see it happening every day. Spending time with God the Father in prayer. Wow, what an honor and a privilege that is. And spending time with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to get to know one another, because we are spiritually blood relatives through the blood of Christ. His blood is what cleanses us of all our sins and gives us the opportunity to come through him to God the Father and get to know him. And what a loving Father he is, and how he has provided everything for us. He provides the rain that comes down. He even gives it on the just and the unjust, except the unjust don't give him credit or glory for it. But we see his marvelous hand at work in all of this. Matthew 5:14 tells us that our light has got to shine. Well, what is the candle power of our light? Is it going out because we're losing the Spirit of God? Or are we drawing closer to God and having more and more the brilliance of God's Spirit shining in our lives? Now, how do you know God's Spirit is shining in your life? Very plain. By their fruits, you will know them. If you're operating through the Spirit of God, there are going to be things you do that are going to be clear-cut examples that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And that is a glorious opportunity that is not given to everyone at this time. We have been given a calling and a chance of a lifetime. And the summary purpose of this is, again, time is to take advantage of every opportunity to glorify God in godly service. We're called ambassadors for Christ. And so God wants us to make sure that we're not wasting the time. Now that brings us to what this sermon is actually all about. If you haven't got it at this point, I think you can put your own title to it. But I've entitled it, Why We Must Redeem the Time. We must redeem the time. We only have so much time in the hourglass. None of us know how much that is. Only God does. He is the one who's told us in the Psalms to apply our heart to wisdom and number our days. Well, some people have many days. Some people lesser days. It's all in God's hands. We don't sit and worry about those days. We ask God for his blessing. And he tells us in the book of Proverbs, if we do certain things, he adds many days to our life. Well, that sounds like a pretty good deal. We want to then do what he says. Why? Because he'll give us many days. And that sounds good to me. And I think that's a pretty good deal for you too. Because again, life is a precious gift. And when we hear stories of individuals who are prematurely cut off in life, it's very sad. And everyone knows, and you've all heard the old expression, you can replace things, but you cannot replace a human being made in the image and glory of God, male or female. Why is that? Because they're special. Every one of us are special. Cows come and go, but you are special in that time frame that God has given to you. And he wants you to radiate the glory of his Spirit working in your life, so that other people can see that there's more to this physical existence than just eating, drinking, and sleeping. He wants you to see your purpose is to glorify the God who made you. And that is to excite you, that he gave you the talents, the abilities, the DNA, everything that you've got. Just as he created the heavens and the earth and all things, here you are, given this marvelous opportunity, and he says, and I've given you a certain amount of time in which I want you to go for broke. I want you to make the most of every opportunity and glorify me in that process, because he is the one that has given us this wonderful opportunity. No, time exists, and it means opportunities that we go for tell us something else about time. There is a sense of urgency that is involved here. We don't have endless time. We just don't have it forever. That's why we're to apply our hearts to wisdom and number our days. So we know that, you know, David had 70, maybe 80, and we see people today nearly 99, 100. That's wonderful. But you want to have a quality of life up in years. You don't want to be an example that takes away from God. You want to grow old gracefully to the glory of God. God knows we're aging, but he wants to help us in this process. And he tells us, follow my lead, and I will lead you through these years, and I will bring you to glory, honor, and immortality, ultimately eternal life. Now, there are many things competing for our time. For example, people are caught up in activities of pleasure. Well, there's nothing wrong with pleasure. You and I have activities from time to time that we like to do certain things. God is a God of pleasure, and he's going to pleasureize his children for all eternity. But he tells us that he doesn't want us to be consumed with activities of pleasure to feel the pleasure in the flesh. He wants us to seek the pleasure of the Spirit. Because if we are just thinking of the flesh, then we are missing the whole purpose for which we were called to become sons and daughters in the spirit realm. Right now, we live in the fleshly realm of this earth. How about people who live for vacations? Their whole year, their time. They can't wait to go on a vacation. Vacations are wonderful. But you can go to vacations and take it to the place where you need 3 weeks rest after the vacation because you're worn out. So it doesn't always mean that that's going to be the best thing. But we all need a little diversion from time to time. There's nothing wrong with that. But to be consumed, I can't wait for the next vacation, to live just for the flesh. And what about, what about that one-eyed monster called a television? Have you noticed the increase in flat screens everywhere? They dominate the scene. And now it takes courage for us, as never before, to have the courage to get up with that little device that you can punch on, that little marvelous device that they put in your hands, and you can shut the TV off. You shut commercials off, but now you got to shut the TV off. Why? Because if you're just consumed like they're doing today, they want you to be on Netflix. They want you to be on Hulu. They want you to, you know, you can sit and have 25 episodes of this program. 25 episodes? You'd be worn out. Your brains would be fried. One or two episodes is fine, but, you know, just to sit there and watch TV hour after hour, you become sedentary. We were ordained of God to live, to move, to have being. That's why young people are so excited. You know, they're always jumping all the time. As you get older, you don't jump as much, do you? But young people are always on the move. And that's good. These activities that God wants us to understand, watching television is fine. It's a tool. Use it. Don't let it use you. And today people are being consumed by just watching program after program. And then, of course, they've got their cell phones. And all these things are fine and good if they're used properly. It's not a thing that is wrong. It's how a thing is used. And if you're always bowing down to TV and bowing down to your cell phone, then which God do you serve? We don't think about it that way, but God does. He looks down on it and says, you don't talk to me. You don't pray to me. You spend more time watching TV than you do going to your man cave or woman cave and talking to me. I want to hear from you. Now, these are important things that God is concerned about. Reading. How many times do people read magazines and books and all kinds of different types of reading? Reading is good. That's how you educate yourself. But if you're not reading the Bible, then what have you done? You've shot yourself in the foot, because that's the book that's got the answers, not the other books. Yeah, the others are good for different things. You want to learn about something, you read a book about it, and you learn. But the Bible tells you about your life and how to use time every day of your life. What a wonderful book that God has given to us. And playing games, as I say, look at young people today. They're just consumed with these apps. And we're being drawn into this thing on your cell phones, you know. Young people have to really learn, and parents are going to have to work hard teaching them. Again, they need to learn that it's not the thing that's wrong, but it's time to shut it down, put it down, close it down. You can go back to it later. But if they're hour after hour in their room reading TV or watching TV programs, playing these games, something is terribly wrong. And we need to really see it from God's perspective. It's taking us away. Now, who is the one that would like to take us away from the things of God? The God of this world, who floods the world with all these different types of competing things to eat up our time. Every minister in the Church of God has learned over the years that they have to be careful in every congregation they serve. Because over the years, what has happened, and we've witnessed it, you've seen it too, they're called time takers. The time taker is one who wants to capitalize on the minister and just talk to the minister when everybody else needs to have access to the minister too. But they'll try to dominate. Oh, I've got things I need to talk to you about. I got this problem, that problem. They're problem-oriented, and they just want somebody to hear about all their problems. Well, God says, look, the minister is there to serve everybody, not just one or two. But the time takers, sometimes they can be used of Satan. For what purpose? To waste time of the minister. So the minister has to realize he wasn't called just for one person. He's got to make himself available to each and every individual in the congregation. Whoever needs him, that's what he's there. And when a person says, oh, I didn't want to disturb you because I knew you were busy, No. If you got an urgent need, you come. You talk to the minister. You don't wait, because that may be what Satan wants you to do. He wants you just to wait and not to solve your problem. The minister is to serve and help. That's his job, a servant. You're being trained to be servants of all mankind one day. And they're going to come to you and want answers to questions. What are you going to tell them? How are you going to guide them? If you don't know now, you better find out and redeem the time, because it's getting closer. The kingdom of God's getting closer with every day that passes. What God wants us to understand is that, again, God is always interested in promoting to improve our relationship with Him, to spread the gospel, and to restore the marvelous understanding of what really constitutes truth. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, it says, there is a time and a place for all things. Dear brethren, now is our time. Now is our time to redeem the time and make the most of it, to look at our Bible reading, and ask ourselves, do I read the Bible less and other things more? Or do I read the Bible more and other things less? These are questions we can ask ourselves. What about praying? Do I pray more now? Or do I meditate on worldly things instead of meditating on the things of God? Meditation means what your mind's always thinking about. And you'll hear people say that. Sometimes they're interviewed in a in a professional manner, and they just say, well, their thoughts are just consumed on this particular way, the way they think about a certain thing. We have to bring every thought into the hand of God. Spiritual conversations on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, I believe, says, you know, that if you don't speak your own words, well, what does that mean? It merely means when we talk and we visit on the Sabbath, it's important not to talk about all our physical problems and difficulties and leave God out of the picture. If you leave him out of the picture, you're speaking your own words. If you're thinking about God, you bring him into the conversation in some way, because he wants to be a part of our everyday conversation. He wants to be with us, to walk in our midst. Spiritual activities versus world activities. Boy, the world has got plenty of activities to keep people busy. All the churches of this world have all kinds of activities to keep people hopping and jumping and going. But how many of those churches really get into the Word of God, fear God, and keep His commandments? Well, you and I have been called for that very thing. What are we being trained for? What is the bottom line? To be good stewards of God's creation. None of us can take anything with us when the end time comes. God gives us all things, and he says, now use these things to my glory. If we're using it for ourselves and our own glory, we're missing the boat. If we're looking to God, to God glorify him, then we're doing what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 16. Join me in Ephesians 5 and verse 16. We begin in verse 15. Paul tells us here something very important for all of us to keep in mind. He says, see then that you walk. That means how you live. You walk the walk, not just talk the talk, but that you walk circumspectly. That means you know what's going on around you. You're not just kind of shooting through life in a kind of a habitual pattern. You're aware of what's happening all around you. Why is that important? Because we live in a dangerous and a very bad period of time of human history. You hear it on the news every day. Things are happening. And many times it happens to people who are blindsided because they were not observant, not circumspect about what's going on. A police officer once told me something that has always been a very good help in my mind, something we should all keep in mind. If we are to watch and pray in the manner of spiritual things, we need to watch and pray in physical areas. What does a policeman watch for? Whether he's praying or not, I'll leave that up to him. But what is he watching for in his service to the public? Because he's a public servant. And when he's looking for somebody who's not up to any good, he watches for the thing that is out of the norm. In other words, if you see somebody standing in a place where they shouldn't be, why is he standing there? You need to ask yourself that. He may be up to no good. Why? He keeps looking around all the time. He seems to be nervous, a little bit antsy. We're supposed to notice things like that, be circumspect. Walk circumspectly, not as fools. Now, what is the fool? According to the biblical definition, a fool is the one who doesn't believe in God. Only a fool says there is no God. Now, God doesn't want us to be foolish. But then it says, but be as wise. As you're looking around, understand you've got to do this in a wise manner. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, according to Proverbs. Which means you call upon God for guidance so that your eyes can spot what you normally would not spot if you weren't watching and praying. That's why the FBI, one of the first things that they teach their new recruits, they run through a battery of testing to see how observant they are. What kind of car was it? Oh, it was a black car. That's all you know, black car? Was it a Subaru, a Ford? Was it a, you know, what kind of car was it? You see, many of us are not that specific. We see a general pattern and we just say, yeah, it was a green car, blue car, what have you. But to be more specific, you've got to know and watch and observe. So he says, be sure that you walk circumspectly, live your life not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time. Use this every day, 24-hour period of time that you've been blessed with. Redeem the time. He says, why? Because the days in which you are living are evil. Oh, boy, that's the evening news. Every day you listen, it's the evil that's happening. And that word evil is a Greek word that carries one of the connotations. It's poneros. It means hurtful in its effect upon us. And dear brethren, there's not a one of us that have not been hurt by the world in which we live. It affects us from the air we breathe, from the food we eat. Everything has got something going crazy and wrong. And it's hurting the average human population. And these are things that we need to recognize. He says, wherefore, he goes on to say, don't act like you're unwise, but with understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? That you be the kind of servant he wants you to be as a man and a woman, to redeem the time he gives to you, however much that is. And the more you are in compliance with the things of God, then God is glorified. And that is the kind of attitude that God wants. Because those who are in rebellion in this world with procrastination and slothfulness, those are the attitudes that hinder growth. That's why God says, get rid of that. You can't function that way. God wants us to honor him and develop our spiritual relationship so that we can bring fruit of glory. I think in the book of John, Jesus said that one of the things God the Father wants is he wants our fruit to last. He wants us to have a lot of fruit, a lot of good results. So that means we've got to make every day count. Well, there's more that could be said. I think I'll just end there by saying again, to do this, we have to enlarge our perspective. And what we do by that, we enlist the Spirit of God to help us and help us in the process of redeeming the time of this precious gift that all of us have been given. Let's thank God each and every day for the ability to live, to move, to have being, to be able to share life with our brothers and sisters, our husbands, our wives, our children, our friends. There is nothing better than doing what God says. How important is life? Well, the proverb says, a live dog is better than a dead one. Well, God has called us and given us life. Let's use it to his glory. Let's serve him with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our strength. And love him and love one another, as God has said, because this is what it's all about. If we can't do that, then God says, there's no purpose for your life. Your purpose in life is to serve the living God who gives you life. Let's thank him every day for that. And just like I read to you, the minister who lost his wife, what a joy to know that the resurrection is before us, and what is a temporary loss will be regained to the glory of God when Jesus Christ returns.